again, everybody. This morning we're taking time out of the course that we've been going, and we're thinking about a topic this morning. We've been thinking about encounters with Christ, but this morning we're going to stop and we're going to think about a topic. And the topic, I suppose, if you remember back in 2012, we looked at a series, Why We Do What We Do, here in Gorey Christian Assembly. And we thought it might be important, in light of the fact that it's been 6 years now, that we revisit this and we go back and we think about some of the things and maybe hit on some things that we hadn't thought about then, and maybe deal with other things in light of where the Lord has taken us and how we've grown as an assembly, to go back and to remind ourselves as to why the Lord has us doing things the way that we do them. This morning, what I'd like to do is to go back and think about the subject of corporate prayer. Group prayer meetings. Now, not just meetings here in the building. I know we meet once a month for prayer meetings, which are very important. We meet on Thursday night as well, which is also important. And there are other prayer meetings here during the course of the week, all of which are extremely important. But it's not just that. What I'm thinking about as well is group prayer meetings this morning. Meeting in each other's homes, in each other's houses, coming together in small groups or even in large groups to meet together and to pray together for whatever issues or whatever things we as a body of believers might be dealing with. So that's pretty much what I want to do this morning. Think about why we pray together, why praying together is important. I'm hoping this morning that this will be brief, and if it is, what we can do is we can spend maybe whatever time is left over to pray together. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1, if you turn to Acts chapter 1 very briefly, the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. Then the disciples returned to the city. And it tells us in verse 14 that they continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Verse 14. So, directly after the Lord's ascension, they went back to the upper room and they prayed together. Now, I was thinking about this during the week, and I suspect that there is a lot of things that a group of Christians can do together. There's a lot of activity that we can be involved in when we come together. But these people went back together and they prayed together. They waited for the Holy Spirit, and while they were waiting, they prayed together. That's what they felt was the most important thing that they could be doing during the course of that time when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. It was in an atmosphere of prayer that the Holy Spirit came, and then he provided this young fledgling church with the power to go out and to serve God. So they went out from there with the power of the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord, but they went out. It's almost, it's like it's all placed on a bed of prayer. You get a dinner and it's on a bed of green things. and it's supposed to be wonderful and nourishing. And it is. All that they went out to do, it was all on a bed of prayer. That was the substance. That was the foundation of everything that they did. The early church understood praying together as a part of what Christ had called them to do. They came together to pray when important decisions needed to be made. They actively came together so that as a group of people together before the Lord would direct them as to the important decisions that they needed to make. They came together to pray when people were in trouble. And we're going to look at one or two of those incidences later on. And they prayed together in times of thanksgiving in response to the wonderful goodness of God. In gratitude for what Christ was doing among them, they came together in thanksgiving and they prayed together. key thing that we as a body of believers here in Gorey this morning need to keep in mind, that these first century Christians, the genesis of the church, prayed together. They prayed together. Now, before we look at the importance of corporate prayer, what I'd like to do is to just look briefly again at the importance of personal prayer. Why personal prayer is important. And I think that by doing this, we will get some insight as to into why corporate prayer, praying together, is important. So, a quick reminder as to why personal daily prayer is important. And you'll notice that I've said daily prayer here. And you'll notice that as I go through this, I'm going to mention that again. Prayer is should be a daily exercise for Christians. It should be something that we do on a daily basis. We eat every day. We sleep every day. And prayer is something that is perhaps actually more important than those things. And it's something that we should need to do on a daily basis. Now, I know from my experience as a believer all these years, there are times when that's a little easier than others. And there are times when we succeed more in our daily prayer than there are at other times. But I also know that we are perhaps too quick to surrender our daily prayer. And we need to be maybe a little bit more observant, a little bit more dedicated in the whole process of maintaining a daily prayer life with the Lord. Why is daily prayer important? Well, the Lord Jesus prayed. The Lord Jesus prayed. Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed, Luke 5 verse 16. Mark records the Lord Jesus rising a long while before daylight and going out to a solitary place to pray, Mark 1, 35. The Lord Jesus needed to get away from everybody into a place of solitude and to pray. Matthew tells us that when the Lord sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself, and there he prayed. Matthew 14 and verse 23. In chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. We know that as the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And John records a beautiful example of the Lord Jesus actually praying in John chapter 17. There in John's Gospel. And we can see and read the Lord Jesus' prayer and the beauty of that. The Lord Jesus praying. The Lord Jesus needed to pray. And if the Lord needed to pray, God incarnate, perfect, holy, righteous man, right in all his ways. If the Lord Jesus needed to pray, well then surely we need to pray. We who are not holy, we who are not right in all our ways, we who do not know the beginning from the end of things, we need to pray. The Lord Jesus explained how to pray. He gave us an example of his prayer. And he expects us to pray. He says in Matthew 6, verse 6, and when you pray. He doesn't say to the disciples, if you pray. He says to them, and when you pray. There's an expectation on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ that his disciples will pray. He expects that. He expects that we will pray every day. Why does the Lord Jesus expect his disciples to pray every day? Because the Lord Jesus knows the value of prayer. He knows the importance of it. He knows why it is so significant and important in the life of a Christian. And let me just add this before we move on. There is a world out there that is designed to rob us of what we have in Christ. And it does it tremendously successfully. We have a nature within us, that old nature that finds the world appealing, and too quickly we're taken away from the Lord. Prayer is a tremendous antidote to that. Prayer connects us back into the very heart and mind of God. It reminds us who we have. It reminds us what we are in Christ. It is this wonderful relationship that redeemed sinners like you and me can have with Almighty God. So, why is personal daily prayer so important? I'd like to just go through four very, very quick reasons why personal daily prayer is so important. First and foremost, daily prayer is an opportunity for us creatures to communicate with our Creator, to speak to God, to go before our Heavenly Father and talk to Him as His children. Now, I don't want you to minimize the importance of this. What we're saying is that we as God's creatures can come before God, our Maker, our Father, the one who loves us, and we can pray to Him. We can talk to Him. We can engage in conversation with Him. We can talk to Him about everything, our family. We can talk to Him about our friends, our church. We can talk to Him about the world. It's limitless as to what we can speak to God about. We can talk to God about the most intimate issues of our lives. The things that maybe we don't talk to each other about. The things that maybe we're so embarrassed or so ashamed of that we wouldn't dare bring them up in society. We wouldn't tell even our best friends. But we can talk to God honestly and openly about those things. The scripture says, the prayer of the upright is His delight, Proverbs 15 and 8. God delights in us coming to Him in prayer. Now, the fact that we can do this, I think, is utterly remarkable. And the reason that we can do it is because of what Christ has done for us in redeeming us, in taking us to the cross and dealing with sin and dealing with all those issues that excluded us from God in the past. Christ has dealt with all those. That middle partition that excluded Gentiles like us has been taken down. The curtain has been separated and parted so that we have the right to come into the very presence of God and engage Him in prayer, in conversation, to talk to Him as a man would talk to his own father. That's the value of prayer. And Christ has done this. He's done it by the cross. He's done it by redeeming us. He's done it by dying for us. Now that's the cost that God was prepared to pay to allow you and me to come before Him and to spend time with Him in conversation and in prayer. Not to do this on a daily basis is really to disregard what Christ has done for us. I got this quote from Anthony during the week. It's from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. That is man at his most noble. What do you look like on your best day? I'll tell you what you look like on your best day. You're before the Lord in prayer. That's you at your best. That's you at your most noble. That's what God has designed you for. To go before Him and to spend time with Him in conversation, in prayer. When we pray, we come face to face with God, our Creator. Isn't that wonderful? And that's exactly what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to come into His presence to enjoy intimacy with Him, to be able to engage with Him and speak with Him. That's what He wants from us. He doesn't need that. God needs nothing from us. He wants that for us because He knows that that is the best for us, to spend time with Him in prayer. To come to Him is what the human soul was actually designed for. James in 4 and verse 8 tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. God wants us to be close to Him at all times. It's a relationship thing. God wants us to enjoy a relationship with him in prayer. You remember going back to Adam. God designed Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden so he could have a relationship with them. And God spoke with Adam. Do you remember that? What's that? That's prayer, isn't it? Adam speaking to God and God speaking to Adam. That's God's initial intention. And the fall has spoiled that. And the word robs us of that. Our fleshy nature takes that from us. But that's where God would have us restored to. A place of intimacy and fellowship and relationship with him. That's the nature of a loving father. Relationship with his children. It's a terrible thing to see a father and a child falling out. Not on talking terms. Sometimes you see that for weeks, sometimes you see it for months, sometimes you see it for years. That's a horrible thing. It's a real betrayal of the picture of what a family should be. When parents and their children don't speak to one another. Daily prayer gives us the opportunity to share all our lives with our Heavenly Father. No secrets. A relationship that is strong and vibrant and active on a daily basis. No secrets. An article I read said this: prayer is an act of worship because by praying to God, we are showing him how much we adore him and how much we need him. Daily prayer is also an act of obedience that brings joy to the Lord to see his children following his commands. So that's the first part of what daily personal prayer is about. Personal, private, daily prayer is an intimate, relational encounter with our Father God. It's an act of worship and obedience, a privilege we as God's children enjoy because of the redeeming work of Christ. Then going on from there, prayer gives us a chance to express gratitude to God for all that he has provided for us. It's an opportunity for us to be thankful for what God is doing in our lives, for what God is doing in our church, for what God is doing for us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, Paul tells us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Or as the Living Bible puts it, I really enjoyed this, the Living Bible says this: always be joyful. Always keep on praying. No matter what happens, always keep on praying. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It's very simple, isn't it? It's very clear. God would have us in prayer always, irrespective of the circumstances. And he would have us being thankful always, irrespective of the circumstances. Again, someone that I read during the week says this: it is no secret that we must give thanks to the Lord for all the things that he provides and all the things he does on our behalf. His goodness and loving kindness to us should be recognized on a daily basis. It's something we should do every day. Do we let the day go by without stopping and pausing and thanking God for what he has done? 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34 says, it commands us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 9 and verse 1, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. So there's a wonderful sense that we are in a continuous state of praising God, giving thanks for all his wonders, all that he has done. Prayer then is an opportunity to acknowledge God's faithfulness and his abundant provision in our lives every day, and to be thankful, to thank him for all that he does for us. Then thirdly, prayer allows us to confess our sin and ask for help to repent of that sin. David in Psalm 32 and verse 5 says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Having the slate wiped clean, having relationship restored. It's very lovely, isn't it? Sometimes we think that our sin hinders us. Sometimes we are ashamed. We're bowed low because we went to those places that we thought we wouldn't go to again. And there's shame. God would have us come and repent. God won us and redeemed us while we were the worst of sinners. He knows it all. He knew all these things before we taught them, before we did them. He wouldn't have relationship hindered by our sin. He would ask us simply to repent and then get back into this wonderful relationship with him and have that restored. This article that I was reading during the week says this: Our daily prayer time is a great place to unburden oneself from the debilitating effects of sin. So often Christians walk around with unconfessed sin that hinders our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when we should humbly submit ourselves and ask for forgiveness in prayer. That's what we should be doing. So another important element of daily prayer is asking God for the strength to repent of our sins, keeping short accounts, not allowing sin to fester, not allowing the guilt of our sin to fester, but to go before him in prayer, confessing these things and having them dealt with. John in 1 John 1 and verse 8 says, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to repent so that he can cleanse us and forgive us our sin. And he does this, of course, as I said, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. Now, that should draw then from us worship and thanksgiving, shouldn't it? If we come before a holy God and we're burdened by something, and the Lord accepts us and cleanses us and forgives us, and we sit or stand or kneel or lie before him, and we know, we're convicted by the fact that my sin is dealt with. It's dealt with. Where does that take us? Wherever else it's going to take us, it should take us to worship and adoration and thanksgiving, shouldn't it? Because he has done this. He has enabled this relationship to be maintained. Our God is a great God. Fourthly, daily prayer is a way to acknowledge who is really in control of our lives. To stop in the midst of life's issues and acknowledge that God is in control, whatever might be going on. The sovereign God, the maker of the universe, the feeder of sparrows, is in control. There's nothing he doesn't see. There's no need that he won't meet. All to his glory, he is in control. Nothing happens without God knowing about it. And yet, we don't always live like that, do we? We certainly don't always think like that. We worry, we complain, we doubt, we question God. But that's not right, is it? It's a lack of trust. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of believing on this eternal God who made the universe. He is able. Whatever our circumstances, he is able. Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. We are, as Peter tells us, to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. 1 Peter 5, 7. Do we trust the Lord? Do we trust God? Do we believe that God is in control of our lives, of our circumstances, of all those things that come to us on a weekly, daily, monthly, yearly basis? The issues of life, the things that all human beings have to deal with, do we believe that God is bigger than those things? Romans 8:28, Shirley quoted this on Thursday night at the Bible study. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Each day, we should acknowledge his proper place in our lives, leaning on him. It should be the tenure of our life, trusting him, leaning on him. So, prayer is something that we all should do on a daily basis, every day. Paul has already told us that we should pray without ceasing. He tells us in Colossians 4 and verses 2 and 3 to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We are to be attentive and serious about our personal, private prayer. We are to be serious about it. Sometimes I have to say that I'm guilty of not being as serious about my prayer life as I should be. I find it really interesting that we'll read scripture and we'll enjoy Bible study and talking about the Lord. But our prayer time, our own personal prayer time, can be the first thing that's taken from us. Oh, we enjoy reading and we enjoy talking to people about the Lord, but aren't we praying? Michael put up an article on Viber during the week from John Piper. It's called, If You Don't Pray, You Won't Live. And it's only 12 minutes long. And what I would encourage everybody to do, if you haven't already listened to that, on Viber, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. Now, what I've done is I've reposted it this morning, so it'll be the first thing that you see. You won't have to go looking for it. But it's really, really very good. And in terms of dealing with our own personal prayer life, I found it really, really helpful. And I would encourage you, there's a video, 12 minutes long, you can watch, or you can read the content, it's all there, whichever is your preference. But I would encourage you to go back and look at that. So, personal private prayer is important. What about corporate prayer? Meeting together in small groups of believers to pray together, meeting together with our families in family prayer, coming together as a church to pray. What about corporate prayer? How important is corporate prayer? If we look at the early church as an example, we discover that corporate prayer was essential to the life of the early church. It was absolutely essential. Everything they did, as I said earlier on, was built on prayer. It's something that they were all actively engaged in. It's something they understood to be of the utmost importance. Acts 2:42 reminds us that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They prayed together steadfastly. It's something that they gave time to. It's something that they met together to do. It was steadfast. They saw prayer as something that was needful. Not just their own personal private prayer, But coming together as a group of God's people to pray together, they saw that as being needful and important. Something that they felt they should do. Something they felt they had to do. They understood the power of collective prayer, the value of men and women, boys and girls, coming together in agreement, being able to say amen to each other's prayers. Do we understand the importance of that? So that when we pray together, the younger ones can listen to what we're praying about and they can say amen. That's really important in the context of a local church. It is equally as important in the context of a family. The children see their parents praying, going before God in the family context and praying together. And the kids grow up learning to be able to say amen. I agree with Daddy. I agree with that prayer. Amen, Lord. Until they come and start to pray themselves. It's really, really important. The early church were unwavering in their continuance in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. They demonstrated determination and purpose. There was a shared vision among them. They had a shared purpose together. The great commission that Christ had given them to go out into all the world and to share the gospel, to honor the Lord and to live for Christ. That's what motivated them. That's what brought them together. They deemed those things to be so important, they couldn't but have come together in prayer. They had shared goals, preaching the gospel, building the church, honoring God in everything that they did, and faithfulness to Christ. That's what marked the early church. We have shared goals here in Gorey Christian Assembly. A shared vision of what God is building here. Do we? Are we all in agreement as to what we want God to do here? To build his church? To meet our part of that great commission? To go out and share the gospel? To see men and women coming to faith in Christ and coming in and joining us here? To see God adding to this church on a daily basis those that are being saved? If that's the case, we must pray together to be in agreement, to say amen to our shared hopes and dreams and goals. Group prayer must bind us together as it bound the early church together as they carried out that great commission. We need to be people who pray together. John Piper points out that we mustn't allow good things to get in the way of prayer. If that's whetted your appetite, now you'll go and you'll look that up and see what he meant by that. That's the whole point. We shouldn't allow good things get in the way of our prayer. In Acts 6, verses 3 and 4, seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, were appointed over the business of the daily distribution of food to the widows. And why were they appointed? They were appointed so that the apostles could give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. These seven men were tasked with looking after this job so the apostles could give themselves to something else. They felt it was their job and their responsibility to continue in prayer and to minister the word. From the very beginning, the fledgling church understood the importance of prayer in the ministry of the word. Not just during Bible studies, but ministering the word in teaching, ministering the word in preaching, ministering the word in evangelism. God empowering those things so that they bear fruit. They understood that. And there is a very, very real link between prayer on the one hand and the power of God on the other. In Acts chapters 3 and 4, Luke tells the story of Peter and John being arrested for healing a lame man. It says, when they were released, they returned to their companions to find them praying. Verse 23 of chapter 4 tells us, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When the people heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. They were all in agreement. There wasn't one among them who was sitting down scratching his beard, "Oh, I'm not sure about that." They were all in agreement. And they prayed. Verse 31 tells us, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God responded to their prayers and thanksgiving with a show of tremendous power and filled them with the Holy Spirit." And it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were able to get out with power and with real boldness and declare the word and speak the word of God to tell people about Christ. I want you to note that it was as they prayed together in one accord that God empowered them by filling them with the Holy Spirit, with boldness to speak the word with power. Spiritual power and spiritual enabling came as they prayed together. God took their prayers and invested their prayer with real power. Sometimes I wonder, is there a direct correlation between how a church prays together or how a family prays together, or even as to how an individual might pray, and the spiritual power that God enables in that person or in that group or in that family or in that church? I want you to get this in your heads this morning, and I say that lovingly. I don't say that as a in a rude way. Prayer, corporate prayer, is essential. It's vital. I often pause and look at what God is doing here in Gorey, and I always come to the same conclusion, and I've said this several times to the lads. We're only at the beginning of things here. Are you satisfied? Does this satisfy you? I want to see what God can do here in Gorey. I really do. I want to see what can happen when we pray together, when we're convicted by this. I want to see people getting saved. I've been convicted by this week. We have a similar story to that last one in Acts chapter 12. Herod had killed James and had taken Peter prisoner with the intention of doing the same to him. Peter was in prison. Acts 12 verse 5 says that Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer. This wasn't just all of them coming together for a half an hour on a Friday night or at the beginning of the month and then walking away feeling that their duty had been done. There's something more going on here. There's something much more intense going on here. A need has presented itself to the church. A very urgent need has presented itself to the church. And they come together and in constant prayer offer to God, they bring Peter before the Lord. There's a determination about the constancy of this prayer. And God wonderfully answered their prayer. Peter is miraculously released from the prison, and we are told that he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. There was many of them there praying. Some of you might say, they weren't all there. Maybe some of them were in another house. But it doesn't say there was a few of them there either. It says that there was many of them there. Those who could be there were there praying for Peter's release. So when Peter arrived at Mary's house, he found them still praying. When the church heard that Peter had been taken, they came together to pray. They came together to pray. They didn't protest. They didn't send a petition. They didn't go and speak to the governor. They came before God in prayer, because they knew that that's where this issue was going to be solved, to the glory and the majesty of God. God would do it. It would be at God's hand. They prayed together. They understood the importance of prayer. In a moment of crisis, they came together to pray. In the life of a church or in the life of a family, there will always be crisis of one degree or another. That's the nature of what it is to be a human being. Is it our instinct to come together and pray? Either at home or here in the building. If I have a particular issue that I'm struggling with, deeply struggling with, I'll get on the phone and I'll ask for prayer. But why can't I ask people to meet me for prayer? Why can't I say, five or six, put an announcement on Viber and say, need prayer at home, whoever's available. Why can't we do that? Now, I know on one level we are kind of doing things like that. But why aren't we doing more of that? The power of prayer. The value of prayer. They came together to pray. If we had a brother in prison, would we be exercised enough to come together and pray for his release? You think would we do that? Do we have a brother in prison? As an assembly of Christians here in Gorey, do we appreciate and understand the importance of praying together, corporate collective prayer? There's a whole world of different verses in Acts that I could have looked at. I picked these four because I didn't want to be here all day, and other people might have picked different ones. But I think with the four that I've chosen, that it's made the point. I hope it's made the point. Prayer is essential. Without it, we're nothing. Without it, we literally are nothing. Collective prayer is vital to the life of any church. And as God's people, we should endeavour at every opportunity to meet together for prayer. How many times have we met together just simply to give thanks for what the Lord has done? I know we've done that. But are there more times that we could have done? How many times have we identified a real need and decided we need to meet together to pray? Someone says, meet in my house, whoever can come. We pray together. The old saints used to say, you can measure the temperature of a church by attendance at its prayer meeting. How are we doing? What is the temperature of Gorey Christian Assembly? Do we have a shared vision? Do we appreciate the importance of corporate prayer to the ministry of the word? Do we appreciate the importance of corporate prayer to the power and movements of God among us? That God would move and exercise himself here among us in Gorey Christian Assembly? Do we appreciate the importance of prayer in dealing with the various crises that come along? It's our go-to setting in Gorey Christian Assembly that when things go awry, we meet together to pray. I'm going to finish by just encouraging you to go back and listen to John Piper. I'm going to leave you with a quote from him. It's a challenging quote. There's probably better ways I could have chosen to end this morning.
It's always nice to end on a high, isn't it? Maybe we will end on a high. But I just felt the need to quote this. And again, by way of encouraging you to go back and read this or look at it. He says, and this is very much him talking in terms of his own church at Bethlehem where he is. He says, "We don't think it's worth it to meet with others to pray, by and large. And we wonder, why is my faith weak? Why is my hope feeble? Why is my passion for Christ small?" You see, in his mind, there is a link between prayer and passion, prayer and the movements and activity of God. And let's end on a high note. God is a generous, loving Father who wants fellowship. He wants us to be in communion with him. He loves that. He really does. He loves it. If the Lord did not love this, he would not have sent Christ to the cross. He wouldn't have done that. We think in terms of eternity. We think in terms of God saving us from this world and saving us into eternity. And that's true. God has saved us for more than that. He saved us for relationship now, so that we can enjoy him now, so that we can make him a part of our daily lives now, so that our lives might be governed and led by him to his glory, to live our lives for him, and at the end of it all, to say that that was a life worth living. Didn't get to climb Mount Everest, didn't get to swim a lake or whatever. Oh, there'll be time for all that in the millennium when you'll have a good body to be able to do it. But I spent time with the Lord. I enjoyed him. I made it my daily interest and passion to pray. If you're like me and have let things slip, well, maybe this is a good day to begin, to re-begin. Our God is gracious. He doesn't mind people stumbling. As long as they don't stay in the dirt, he wants us to up and at it again. He's very gracious. His mercies are new and fresh every day. Maybe tomorrow, maybe even today, we make a determined effort to spend time with him in prayer, giving thanks, acknowledging our sin, asking him for the various needs that we have here in Gorey Christian Assembly, and enjoying him. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning for this short reminder of the importance of prayer. The importance of personal prayer and the importance of collective prayer. Lord, we just pray that this would be something that maybe as individuals we take up a little more of, and we'd be a little bit more determined. Lord, we just thank you for this privilege, for the privilege of being able to come before you in prayer, and to know that we always have your ear. The door is always open. You're never too busy. You're never not there. You're always available, and you always greet us with a smile, a loving Father welcoming his children into fellowship with him. We give you thanks for that, and we give you thanks for your help this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.